This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are rocking and rolling on this Wednesday edition of the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. Alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. We got plenty of headlines coming out of OTAs and mandatory minicamp in the NFL. A great guest list today as well. In about 30 minutes, we'll have VSiN's own Adam Burke join us. It's never too early to talk survivor pools. Also, Jets reporter Brian Costello is going to hop on the progressive guest line at the end of hour one and in hour two. Best bets in the NBA and Stanley Cup final with Harry Gagnon, who, Michael, I believe is back in the country, but we never really know with
he
our international man.
Yeah, I mean, look, Springsteen's in Colts Neck. I see no reason why Harry has to be in Europe if Bruce is in Colts Neck, New Jersey, 60 miles from me. So, I mean, unless he's just living life over there, you know, doing the good thing. I don't know. I mean, it's be nice to come back as Harry, don't you think?
It would. I'm glad you're on top of the Bruce schedule, though, so we always really
know. Oh, I
know
his schedule everywhere. Oh, yeah. I'm trying to run into him. I got to have to go to the Freehold Diner or somewhere. But I got to get away from it, but it's too hard. But I'm working on it, Stormy. I am secretly stalking the man. Yes.
it'll happen. Don't worry. And while you're trying to get away from that, something we can't get away from is all of the headlines and sound bites that are coming out of these mandatory mini camps and OTAs. And I want to start in Miami, a team you actually wrote about on the website this week. Make sure you check out Michael's latest column at VSiN.com. It went live this morning. But Tua Tagovailoa, of course, entering the final year of his rookie contract. We all expect he's going to get paid. He was asked by reporters yesterday about the contract. Tua, how you feeling?
I mean, I'm not blind to people that, you know, are in my position that are getting paid. Am I concerned about it? I'm not concerned about it. The market is the market. If we didn't have a market, then none of that would matter. It'd just be an organizational thing, you know? Didn't matter if that guy got paid that, because it's up to the organization. So that's what I would say. The market is the market. That's it.
Are you confident that a deal will get done before training camp?
I'm confident that a deal will get done.
And he's not wrong, Michael. We know Chris Greer wants to get a long-term deal with him done, whether it's the right thing or not. And the market is what the market is right now.
It is. He knows it. I mean, I bet you if you could have, if somebody would have followed up and said, well, what is the market, Tua? He would have said, well, let's see, you know, Joe Burrow's at 55, Herbert's at 50, 52 and a half, Lamar's at 53. He probably would have given it to you down to the incentives. He knows it. Mm-hmm. He knows that's what it is. And I love how he positioned himself. And clearly his agent, Lee Steinberg, told him exactly what to say. The market is the market. That's the negotiating tool. See, when you decide to get out of the arena of, is this player good? Is that player not good? Which is where we all kind of live our lives. Dak Prescott's not worth it. And, you know, this guy's not worth it. Well, when you focus back on what the market is, the market is the market. And you may not agree that Dak shouldn't be the highest paid quarterback, or you may not agree that Tua should get 50 plus million. I certainly don't, but the market is the market. And that's where you lose the negotiation. You can't defend that. You can't reestablish the quarterback market, because you could say, well, Herbert's never won a Super Bowl. Okay, he's never won. The market's the market. He got 52 and a half.
And that's the world that we're living in right now with the elevated salary cap. Tua, of course, led the NFL this past year with 4,624 yards, a career high 69% completion percentage, career high 29 touchdowns, in large part due to the career high number of games he played. He was durable last year. He put on the weight. He did the jiu-jitsu classes or whatever it is to know that he was falling properly. But then he shows up to camp this year with a thinner, slighter frame, which I know we're going to talk about a lot more a little bit later on. Tyreek Hill even joked that he's on Ozempic because he showed up so much skinnier than he anticipated. Speaking of Tyreek Hill, though, so with Justin Jefferson getting his contract done earlier this week, it certainly had Drew Rosenhaus, his mouth watering to get a new bump for his star client and wide receiver Tyreek Hill. Here's Hill with reporters yesterday at minicamp regarding his situation.
About the contract situation, you know what? I'm going to let my agent do his job. That's his job, man. His job is to be great at that, and my job is obviously, you know, to come out here and continue to do whatever I can to to help this team win, whether that's a restructure, whether that's whatever the case may be. Ensuring I'm a Dolphin for life. That's number one, man. That's priority number one, man. But this is obviously the best situation for myself and the family. I don't think it could get any better.
I love that, though. You go from Tua, who says the market is the market, and then you have that standpoint from Tyreek Hill, who, by the way, also later on said, I know being greedy doesn't help the team.
Well, yeah, but he also knows that he's the best receiver. Like, you know, I know Jefferson's great, but he also knows he tilts the field. I mean, in the article that we'll talk about later, 77% of the catches are between Waddle and Hill. That's the offense, right? I said there's 80% of the offense goes through them. And so, you know, you lose either one of those two guys, it's not going to happen. So, yeah, and he changes the game for everybody. You know, one thing I also wrote about is we know the plays that are coming from the Miami offense. They're not complicated, but they're hard to stop because of him and because of the talent that he brings, and the ball comes out so quick and he's so damn good with it after the catch. I wish you could have watched him be a running back at Oklahoma State. I mean, this wasn't some kid that the Chiefs uncovered out of West Alabama or got thrown out of Akron. He couldn't get into school once he got thrown out of Oklahoma State. But he was a talented running back at Oklahoma State with power. Now, give Andy Reid full credit for turning him into a receiver. And you know, and they took a big risk on him based on his off-the-field activity, where he was off of, I would say, 30 other boards. Only the Raiders and the Chiefs had him on their board.
And Tyreek, as far as the on-field skill, is going to have success with anyone and any quarterback. But Tua, conversely, he needs Tyreek Hill. He needs Jalen Waddle. He needs these people. It's not a secret, right? And so his success is directly correlated, I feel like, with these top-tier wide receivers and talent being on the field.
And it's directly correlated to the offense. It's to the RPO offense. I mean, when you watch the games at the end of the year, when you study the Miami teams and you look at the offense that they were unable to, the defenses that they couldn't really maneuver, especially later in the season, once people got an idea about what they were trying to accomplish, you look at it week 17. I mean, they played the Chiefs twice in week, I think, 16, and then in the playoffs, and they never got 200 yards passing in either game. They never did. They could say, well, they were hurt. They were hurt on defense. They weren't hurt on offense. And so they could never get that going. And I think when they played against good teams later in the year, Buffalo, you know, when they played against those teams, they had a hard time. Now, is that because they are, you know, not practicing as hard, or is that because people catch up to the offense? I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah. Lost to Buffalo, lost badly in Baltimore, won a close game barely against the Dallas Cowboys, and of course lost that wild card game against the Kansas City Chiefs to start the playoffs. So they lost, what, four of their last six games to close out the end of the season.
Yeah.
Speaking of that Dallas Cowboys team, Micah Parsons also showed up to mandatory minicamp in Dallas yesterday. We know he missed OTAs, but he said a lot of that was due to letting his body heal up correctly this offseason. Here's Micah Parsons.
I mean, there was a time where Aaron Donald didn't even go to camp and he won Defense Player of the Year and he realized his team in the playoffs. Like, are we forgetting these times? I'm just looking at a time for my body to heal. I'm an undersized rusher who's gets banged up every year. So I'm just letting my body heal. I'm just trying to grow, strengthen, and really just get ready for the year.
With CD handling his business, you had him on your podcast and you guys talked about it. Just how do you kind of view his situation?
Oh, I mean, CD about to hit the Brink truck. He about to get his, you know.
Is the Brink truck coming for you?
I mean, one day, time will tell. You know, I can't really put a timetable on mine. All I got to do is keep getting sacks, and, you know, that stuff's going to handle itself.
They're both getting the Brink truck, Michael. But yeah. So he, Micah Parsons, as expected, he is there. And I think that's important, whereas CD is not right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, CD's going to just – he just throws $100,000 out the window. I mean, I don't understand these guys. Lamar throws $750,000 out the window for not showing up to the OTAs. Like, seriously? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I mean, when does I got 75, I could see him throwing out the window. 7,500, not a good idea. 75, you know, 750,000, that's a stupid thing to do, but this is what guys do, you know? Why put it in the contract if you're not going to show up? Like, wouldn't you think they would say to their agent, I'm not coming, so why, you know? I just think it's a stupid holdout. These holdouts, like, you know, Ayuk, they're just, you're just giving $100,000 away. It's not going to affect the negotiation. You not, the reason you don't show up is to, is a cause. And what's the effect of that cause? And in these cases, it's zero. I mean, you could just listen to what Parsons is a businessman. He gets it, right?
Yeah.
He knows that Aaron Donald didn't come to camp. He knows all those things. Like, he's ready for the stupid writers to ask stupid questions because he's got the answers. But why be stupid and give away $100,000 when you don't have to? Just show up and tell the coach, look, man, I'm hurting here. I don't feel right. My body's sore. They're going to let you go, but you're not going to give away $100,000. And then your holdout, oh, Jerry's probably sulking in Highland Park because CeeDee Lamb's not at practice. Are you kidding me?
What did, by the way, you make of the Aaron Donald comp that he threw out there, that he didn't show up and he still won Defensive Player of the Year? Parsons, of course, tied for the shortest shot to win Defensive Player of the Year this season at plus 550.
Yeah. Well, he wants to get paid like Donald did. I mean, that's the same thing that Bosa wanted. They wanted to be the top non-quarterback paid players in the league. Now, we can argue whether Jefferson is or not. Jefferson's new money indicates he is. If you combine Jefferson's old money with his new money, he's not. But that's a whole negotiation point. You can't convince the media once they go down that street. But clearly, Parsons is going to be in that $33 to $35 million per year if he continues to play. And he's smart enough to know, look, I got to stay healthy to get the money.
Now, we know Micah Parsons loves to talk. Maybe CJ Stroud is taking a page out of that book. When we come back, Stroud said what about who? And is he right? That and more burning questions with a lot of these teams in mandatory
great
minicamp.
Tease,
we'll be right
tease.
Back. Thanks, buddy. Thank
great
you.
Tease.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In addition to watching and listening to VSiN, don't forget about all the great betting tools and content at VSiN.com. Best bets from all of our show hosts and guests, betting splits, pro tips, and trends. And right now on the homepage, betting previews for both the NBA and Stanley Cup Finals. Whether you're looking for series plays and props or game-by-game breakdowns, we've got you covered. Plus, Michael's got a new column live this morning, why the Miami Dolphins should be concerned for 2024. We'll take a deep dive into Miami to kick off hour two. But there are a handful of other teams with mandatory mini camps underway this week, and there are burning questions on the top of my mind for all of them. And we're going to start with the Houston Texans, Michael, because CJ Stroud has been talking a lot this past week, and we have a wonderful...
It's kind of rubbing you the wrong way, isn't it? Usually it rubs me the wrong way. I think this is rubbing you the wrong way, don't you think? I mean, you're kind of would like them just to be quiet, I get the feeling, huh?
There's something about active players talking about other active players that just rubs me a little bit the wrong way, a touch. So here's a collection of sound bites from our young stud from the Houston Texans on the $1 Million Worth of Game podcast this week. Take a listen.
Final five. I know what I'm doing, dog. Mahomes, Lamar, myself, Dak.
Joey B.
He didn't really play last year.
Blast.
And then it hurts. Stafford, a dog.
He
bro.
Is a dog.
No, you don't understand, bro. You saying that. If you give Matthew Stafford a chance like Aaron Rodgers, I guarantee you might have had more rings, for sure. We don't know how Aaron Rodgers treats his teammates, but you can guarantee that Tom Brady treats his teammates right because how he got them rings.
Okay, so he ranks active players in who he thinks are the best quarterbacks, obviously includes himself at number three in that list. He talks about Aaron Rodgers, who he has to play head-to-head later on this season in primetime on Halloween. There's a lot of things here. So my burning question to you, Michael, is CJ Stroud getting too big of a head here? Is he getting a little too ahead of himself? How does he avoid the sophomore slump? And I don't know. He's doing a lot of talking, Michael.
Yeah, I don't think he realizes, I really don't think anybody in Houston realizes the storm that awaits them. And it's not a storm that's personal. It's just a storm that usually occurs for any team that wants to go from good to great. Look, they were good last year. They weren't great. They played a fourth play schedule. They lost in Carolina to Carolina with Stroud playing quarterback. They were fortunate. They deserve all the accolades they could get. But last year's last year, right? Indianapolis has them on the verge of beating them with Gardner Minshew as the backup quarterback. I know they destroyed Cleveland in that playoff game. Good for them. But the storm that awaits them, Stormy, is the we're all ready for you. We're not taking you lightly. If you want to be a dog, you're going to have to be able to beat the good teams week in and week out. And beating Jacksonville twice or beating, you know, a Tennessee twice. Think about it. Jacksonville, Tennessee, and Indy were not great teams last year. There's six wins you get in that conference if you just play half decent. So I think he should tone it down a little bit. But there's a euphoria that runs with a team that has never won before. They're becoming a little bit like the Jets. All of a sudden, we're just going to give them the Super Bowl, just put them in it. I think it's a little harder than that.
He's tied for the second shortest shot on the odds board to win MVP this year at plus 850. And I like CJ Stroud. I'm a fan. He had a historic, unbelievable rookie season that ended up in an offensive rookie of the year win campaign. I think that the Texans are going to be good, and they've invested a lot in that team to support their young quarterback while he's on his rookie contract. So I like the Houston Texans. I like CJ Stroud. I just worry that now he's putting an even bigger target on his back. And when it comes to, let's say Aaron Rodgers, for example, when we do get to that game later on in the season where the Jets are a 3-point favorite here early in that game at home, how much does Rodgers love having people on his bleep list and proving them wrong, right? Oh, you want to draft Jordan Love? Cool. I'm just going to have two MVP back-to-back seasons, right? Like, this is the mentality that Aaron Rodgers has. When you look at the Tom Brady comp, and now he talked about the mentorship that he is appreciated he's had from Tom Brady. Why does Tom Brady have a target on his back? Because he's the greatest of all time. He didn't have a target on his back because he was talking smack in a podcast. So, you know, those are just the things that run through my mind. And I like CJ Stroud. I want him to have success. But he's doing a lot of talking for just 1 year of experience in the NFL. Texans Super Bowl odds sitting at 16-1. Stroud, as I mentioned, plus 850. The Jets, because for sake of argument, since we're bringing Aaron Rodgers into this conversation, 20-1 for their Super Bowl odds. His MVP, 16-1. He also said, by the way, that if he had to choose a career between Aaron Rodgers or Eli Manning, he would pick Manning's. And that is something that I actually did find interesting and liked out of all of this, is that he's like, no, the team wins the Super Bowls, the Super Bowl MVPs. That's more important to me than the individual accolades and the regular season MVP.
I love that. That is, and he's right. Absolutely. He's 1,000% correct.
All right, let's go to more burning questions with the Philadelphia Eagles, who I know you love to talk about so much. My number one burning question: how will Kellen Moore's offensive plan mesh with Jalen Hurts, and will this offense get back to its 2022 explosive form?
You know, I think they will, because here's why. Money talks, and they put money into Saquon. You know, they put money into Saquon, and they're going back to, and Saquon's rush numbers are under what Miles Sanders achieved for them 2 years ago. I mean, that's a pretty good deal. I know they lost Jason Kelce. I mean, Jason Kelce is a really good player, and there's no question. But they're going to be okay without Kelce. They will. Now, it'll be a little bit of a learning curve with Dickinson in terms of making the calls, because Kelce was very good at being in the right protection. He took a lot of responsibility off Hurts' plate in terms of getting in the right call, audibling to the quarterback draw, doing all the things he needs to do. But I think this team will still run the ball really effectively, and that'll lend itself to play action pass. And then I think that'll allow them to build the lead to help their defense rush the passer.
Okay, we'll see if Joystick can turn this thing around. The Eagles are a plus 115 favorite in the NFC East, 7-1 in the NFC, the third shortest shot behind only San Francisco and Detroit. How about the Chicago Bears, who have a new young stud, number one overall pick, a quarterback in Caleb Williams? My question, can Williams be the guy, and I guess I got to do part two, can the defense pick up where they left off at the end of last season as well?
Well, I think that's the question. Now, you know, part of what's on my mind, and we'll talk about in the next hour, is all these reports we get out of training camps and, you know, who's playing well and who's throwing the ball all over the place. And we heard about it, and the Bears' two-minute defense wasn't good. Look, it's all meaningless. But, You know, I think that's the fundamental question. When the Bears defense at the end of the year had to go into Green Bay and play well, they didn't. So we'll see if they've improved. Now, I listened to what Ryan Poles said. I mean, Ryan Poles, if he would have had the second pick in the draft, would have picked Adunze. I mean, there's no question that they think Adunze is going to be the greatest receiver in football. There's no question. They didn't even contemplate taking a defensive player there. And you could just listen to how excited he was. We'll see. How many plays can he play with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen there? It's going to be fascinating. If he's as good as Poles believes he is, he should start over those guys. Because if that's rare, rare doesn't wait.
Yeah. I know the defense struggled in that game against Green Bay, but they still only allowed 17 points. And looking through that back end of the season, those last eight games that everybody continues to reference because they won five of them, there's only one team that they allowed more than 20 points against, and it was the Detroit Lions, who had one of the best offenses in all of the NFL. So it was nice to see they stepped up. The addition of Montez Sweat was important. We'll see what they can do coming into this year. Win total set at 9.5. 7-10 last year, have not won more than eight games since 2018. How about those Detroit Lions? Top guys got paid this past offseason, but we've talked about it a lot on the show. Will they still be hungry coming into 2024?
Yeah, I don't doubt this at all. I think because, you know, you get your personality from your head coach, your team does. And Campbell's not a guy to rest on his laurels. He's driven. You know, you don't drink that much coffee without having some sense of urgency, right? And so I think all that will walk. Now, I think the other key part is, will they handle the changes that are coming, right? Will they, you know, people have had a year to study them and they'll have a year to look at them. And so I think you have to take a look at what's the adjustments people are going to make to them and how they're going to handle it. So that to me is more of an obstacle than actually having complacency. I don't see complacency entering. I think they have really good energy, and I do think they have a good culture, and winning's important.
And he is one of those coaches that when we first started watching Dan Campbell on Hard Knocks and he was the rah-rah guy, there were a lot of questions like we have, for example, right now with Antonio Pierce, like I think we have with Robert Saleh being that kind of rah-rah cheerleader type head coach. He has backed it up with substance and his guys believe in him. I'm a big fan of what he's been able to put together in Detroit. By the way, that coffee order for Inquiring Minds, two venti coffees with two extra added shots in each one of them. Dan Campbell is a monster, and I appreciate the caffeine game. Okay, we got to take a break here. When we come back on the Lombardi Line, we're going to continue down the NFL road talking survivor pools. Adam Burke, VSiN, managing editor here at the network, he did a full breakdown of all 18 weeks, an even deeper dive into week one. And his is a voice we should trust in this space. One of the final 13 in Circa Survivor last year. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You know, here at the Lombardi Line, we are always here to help you out. We want to hook you up. And for a limited time, you can get a VSiN annual subscription for just $199 when you use our promo code Lombardi. It's usually $240, now just $199. And we're throwing in an extra month for free if you sign up now. That's 13 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day. With VSiN Pro, you get instant access to our daily best bets from all of our VSiN show hosts and guests, real-time betting splits, exclusive betting systems, premium analysis, 24/7 video content, and more. And don't miss out. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe now. Use that promo code Lombardi to claim your discount and the bonus month. This is a limited time offer, ladies and gentlemen. Get in there while you can. Alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. And who better to talk to than somebody who handles all of the heavy lifting at the website, managing editor of VSiN.com. He is a critical piece of all of the betting guides we put together. Adam Burke joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. Also co-host of DK's baseball betting podcast, Double Play, because he doesn't already do enough. Adam, welcome into the program. How are we doing today?
Good. Good to be back. Looking forward to that June 27th release of our NFL betting guide. So we're not that far away from that. What is it? 3 weeks from tomorrow. So we're getting ready to go. Wow. Assignment's been handed out. Everybody's working hard. So a lot of good things coming your way at VSiN.com this month.
Thanks for the reminder, Adam. I appreciate it. I got to get on that. I got an assignment, Stormy. Did you get one?
Well, I didn't get an assignment. Why doesn't anybody love me? No, I'm just kidding. I'm sure Adam will put something in the inbox here in short order. We always, everybody at the network gives their like Super Bowl picks, who they think are going to play in the conference championship, and best bets. Once I come up with one, I'm sure I'll get in there. But Adam, the big thing that we wanted to start off talking with you about today was Survivor, because up on BSN.com pretty recently after the schedule release, you had a full breakdown and blueprint of the 18-week season, a dive into week one as well. And you were one of the final 13 standing in last year's Circa Survivor contest. So, like, I know you've been doing Survivor pools for a long time, but last year specifically, making the run that you had, what did you learn? Like, what was your biggest takeaway from that experience?
Yeah, I think, look, I mean, first of all, I realized how difficult it is, you know, especially when the games get really, really stressful, to make the right decision, because there are typically a lot of options. But the thing that, you know, you kind of boil down to at the end of the season is you don't have a lot of good teams left. You have to take some teams that, you know, are a little bit riskier, maybe some favorites that aren't quite as big. Of course, injuries play a big role, and on a week to week basis, anything can happen. But do you wind up late in the year being in a position where you're stuck taking some teams that are pretty unpalatable, some teams that are very, very stressful to try and watch? So one of the things I did in the blueprint article that you're referring to over at VSiN.com was trying to maybe take some chances earlier in the season with some weaker teams, just because then if you get deeper into the year and you have some better teams available, maybe that gives you a little bit of an advantage over the remainder of entries in the field. So, you know, hey, I mean, this is just kind of a fun exercise more than anything to kind of plan out the season this far in advance, because, hey, if Joe Burrow gets hurt again, or Lamar Jackson, or Patrick Mahomes, you know, your week to week picks are definitely going to change. But the one thing I tried to do here with this year, kind of blueprinting it out, was just to have some better teams available late in the year that maybe I feel a little bit more confident in.
Last year, let's go through last year a little bit. You were so good. How many weeks did you almost make a mistake?
Oh, good question.
Well, I mean, you know, it kind of, when you get to that point, it feels like every week could potentially be a mistake. But Mark Goldberg, my partner, Spooky Express, who was in the contest with me, you know, look, I mean, we had discussions every single day about who we were going to take, about what we kind of thought the field was going to do, sort of breaking everything down. I mean, I don't think we took a road team at any point throughout the course of last season. That was something that we tried to shy away from. You know, look, I mean, I think there were a lot of times where, you know, something could have happened one way or the other, or, you know, there were some where, for example, we got really fortunate with some entries getting knocked out that kind of helped push us up the ladder a little bit. So I would say there were probably three or four times where it got really, really close or really, really dicey, especially at halftime, you know, and especially, you know, as you're kind of going into the fourth quarter thinking, oh, is this the week? Is this the time that maybe we kind of picked the wrong side of that 50-50 or 55-45 coin? But fortunately, we made a deep run. But, you know, this year we're going to try to go a little bit further.
The hold your nose picks, the ugly wins, all those things. That's such a big part of what makes Circa Survivor, and I mean, all of the Survivor pools in general, so much fun. And it's interesting you mentioned not taking road teams. There are certain players that'll have those quote unquote rules for themselves, right? Like, I don't want to take a road team. I don't want to take teams that are facing each other in the division because they know each other so well. So that'll be fun as we get closer to the season to get into. As far as week one goes, I think a lot of people right off the jump are saying, okay, we got to fade the Patriots in that week one game. That's the one that stands out to everybody. It'll probably be the most used game. But are there any other week one lines specifically, whether it be from a Survivor standpoint, that stands out, or just numbers you felt were a little bit off when they were initially released?
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, on the surface, Cincinnati definitely appears to be the pick there in week one against New England. But I mean, you know, we still have unknowns about Joe Burrow, and who knows how much he'll actually play in the preseason here. So for right now, that definitely looks to be the pick. I would say the one I would stay away from, I think Buffalo is pretty dicey as a 7-point favorite against Arizona. I think Jonathan Gannon will have his team ready for that game. In fact, of the week one lines that are out there, I like Arizona +7 the most. I mean, the travel is not going to be an issue because it is week one. It's not like this is a game where they're playing in December and the weather is going to be brutal or anything like that. I think the Cardinals will be very, very buttoned up and ready to go. I think Gannon is an excellent head coach, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. And the Bills have some moving parts. They have some questions. They maybe have some continuity issues coming into the season, not only with the roster, but also on the sideline. I think there are some questions about that as well. So I think Arizona is not only a good bet to cover the 7 there, but I think they might be kind of live to actually pull the upset in that game.
Okay, so that leads me to my question. When you handicap all the teams, who is a team that you feel like is the worst team in the league that has the potential to have the first pick in the draft? Is it Carolina? And then who else is in that group?
Yeah, I mean, I think Carolina is definitely very much in that mix. I think Denver's in that mix, too, just because I'm not very sure about Bo Nix. I think maybe long-term, Bo Nix could be a decent quarterback, given the fact that he's already 35 years old. But he's a guy that, you know, I mean, he played in an offense at Oregon where he just had so many burners on the outside and so many good running backs that, you know, he doesn't really have that luxury with Denver relative to the rest of the NFL. So I think Carolina and Denver are the two teams in the running for that. For Carolina, I mean, they need Bryce Young to really step up in a big way. I don't know that that's possible. Then also you got a first-year head coach there in Dave Canales, who maybe, you know, he will be a long-term good hire for them, but I don't know about that right out of the gate here. So I think Carolina and Denver are two teams that will be quite bad. I'll be curious to see what happens with Tennessee throughout the course of the season. I think Brian Callahan's a pretty decent hire, and certainly Bill Callahan will round that offensive line into shape. But major, major questions at the quarterback position for that team. Major questions on defense for me as well. So those are teams that, you know, I'd be looking to fade from a survivor standpoint, but also I think could be among the worst in the NFL for sure.
Man, Adam, words hurt. I am not here for the Carolina Panthers slander. I am a believer this year. Speaking of blueprints, the team has like their own behind the scenes docu-series called The Blueprint. And I'm buying in on what Canales is selling here. I think Bryce Young will be okay. I am somebody who bet their win total over. So prayers up for your girl. While we are, of course, all NFL all the time, we love talking football. A lot of bettors right now are trying to get involved in the NBA, the NBA Finals beginning on Thursday, the Stanley Cup Final getting underway here shortly as well. There's daily baseball each and every day, which you are heavily invested in. What resources do we have at VSiN.com right now, and any plays for us today?
I got to say real quick on the Carolina Panthers thing, I think given your husband's fandom, it'll make Sundays very, very interesting in your household with your Panthers over bet there. Look, I mean, I got to give a shout out to Jonathan Von Tobel. And I mean, I know the guy does everything for us across the network over at the website as well. He's a really, really phenomenal asset for us here at VSiN. And he's been a tremendous asset in the lead up to the NBA Finals as well. Series preview is out. He's done a lot of stuff in terms of player prop markets, not only who's going to lead in certain statistical categories, but also tackling some of the head-to-head prop markets here in advance of game one. So JVT's done an excellent job with that. Zachary Cohen will be back with his daily NBA, you know, game bets, player props, all that kind of thing for every day of the NBA Finals as well. But JVT really greasing the wheels here for the upcoming NBA Finals. Very much looking forward to that. And on the hockey side of things, I think I'm going to put my own spin on the Stanley Cup Finals, write up a preview here probably tomorrow on the series. But Johnny Lazarus has his preview up. And also right before this segment started, his thoughts on the Conn Smythe Trophy and some good potential value bets for the MVP of the Stanley Cup Finals as well. And we're trying to do something with Connor McDavid if the sports books cooperate and get us some actual Connor McDavid series props and all of that.
Awesome stuff. As always, Adam, we so appreciate your time. And I don't want to lean you one way or the other on your Stanley Cup final article, but go Panthers. I'm just going to put that out there. And I laid the minus 130 and I feel pretty good about it. Thanks, Adam.
Yeah, no problem. Have a good one.
I love it. Thanks, Adam. Adam Burke, great work.
Make sure you follow him on X at Skating Tripods. And again, all the great content at VSiN.com, as well as the DK Baseball Betting Pod Double Play. He and Dustin Sweetelson do an awesome job. We're going to hit the break. We talked earlier about CJ Stroud's comments on Aaron Rodgers. How does Jets reporter Brian Costello anticipate Rodgers' response? And what in the world is going on with Hassan Reddick? Should this Jets team be getting all the hype that they're getting? I'm so excited to get Brian's thoughts on this. We'll be right back on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sound the trumpets. It's horse racing time. Saddle up for action with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who download the DK Horse app can get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when you use the promo code VSINHORSE. That's all one word, VSINHORSE, VSINHORSE. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement. Wager on your favorite horses. Then you can watch the races live inside the app. Download the DK Horse app today. Welcome back to VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you here on the Lombardi Line. And the New York Jets are in the news each and every day. We are excited and ready to go for year two of the Aaron Rodgers experience, and prayers up. It goes longer than four plays this time around. To help us break it all down, we welcome in Jets reporter for the New York Post, Brian Costello, on the Progressive Guest Line at Brian Koz on XCOZ. And Brian, Jets fans are ready to get hurt again, aren't they?
always. It's June, though. There's optimism if the Jets land in June always. The hurt comes later in the year.
Yeah, no question. As I always say, Dean Martin had a great line about people that didn't drink. He said, you know, when you don't drink, when you wake up, that's the best you're going to feel all day. And I say this about Jet fans. When they wake up on Sunday morning, that's the best they're going to feel all day. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about my man, my favorite head coach in the NFL, Robert Saleh. It's reported to me that he's going to be more involved with the offense. I'd like to hear your commentary on that. And I find it really hard to believe that they would trade for a guy that they didn't even have contact with and discuss the contract information beforehand. Your thoughts?
Yeah. On Hassan Reddick first, I agree with you. I don't understand how this wasn't worked out beforehand. Now, look, we haven't heard from Reddick yet. That we talked to him once in April, and he kind of gave my agents handling that. I'm not worried about it. So, you know, mandatory minicamps next week. I'd expect to see him there. We'll see what he says there. About the contract situation, but he hasn't been at any of the voluntary portions. So I think he's looking for something. Obviously that's why he was traded from the Eagles, is he wanted a new contract there. The Jets could maybe do something, sweeten his contract a little bit with guaranteed money or some incentives or something. They're not going to give him a long-term deal though, I don't think. In terms of Saleh with the offense, to me, this is one of those stories that we talk about in May and June, like, you know, is it going to have any effect in the season? I doubt it. I think, you know, Aaron Rodgers is going to be the key to the offense, not Robert Saleh. It's good, I guess, that he's getting more involved in the offensive side of the ball. But I feel like I've heard this 1,000 times, going back to Rex Ryan was going to be more involved in the offense, or Todd Bowles was going to be more involved in the offense, or Adam Gase was going to be more involved in the defense. Like, this is what we do with teams that are struggling and head coaches that are in their third or fourth year and trying to figure it out. We say, oh, they're going to do this or that. And I think, you know, I don't think there's a lot of much effect on the football product. I think the offense, the key for the offense is number eight, not who's in the coaching room.
You know, Brian, a big question that I've had about this Jets team coming into the season is what's the bar? Like, what is genuinely a successful season that's going to keep this staff around for another year, that's going to bring them back? Yeah. Is it a playoff win? Is it a conference championship? Is it really genuinely Super Bowl or bust and they're all out? What's your perception?
Yeah, I think, you know, you have to keep in mind, this team hasn't made the playoffs in 13
years. Yeah.
So having a playoff berth is an accomplishment. But I've learned, kind of doing this for a while, it's how it looks, right? I go back to Eric Mandini's last year with the Jets. They started off 8-3. That was the year they had Brett Favre. 8-3, hopes got really high. This team was going to the Super Bowl. Favre got hurt. State kept playing. They ended up finishing the season 9-7. Mangini got fired. You wouldn't have predicted he was going to get fired off of a 9-7 season. There, they just missed the playoffs. So it's kind of how it looks. Like, if they start off amazing and hopes get really, really high and they collapse toward the end of the season, and even if they just, you know, they squeak into the playoffs that way, then there's probably gonna be changes made. If they start slow and then they come on hard at the end of the season and barely squeak in the playoffs, I think the perception is different. So it's sort of how it looks, I think, to me. I don't think there's a set thing you can say, oh, they have to win a playoff game. Or they have to get to the championship game or anything like that. And I certainly don't think it's get to the Super Bowl. I mean, this team is, you know, let's take baby steps. They have 13 years without a playoff berth. A playoff berth will be an accomplishment for them this season. But I definitely think it's kind of how it unfolds will tell the story of who's back for 2025.
Brian, I reported back 2 weeks before free agency that the Eagles were all over Huff, right? They wanted him. That was their target. And then about a week before free agency, I reported that they probably were going to get a deal done with them. And everybody in the league knew it, okay? Except, yeah, Obviously Joe Douglas, because the Jets didn't franchise him. And then he became a free agent. He immediately signed with Philadelphia. And then he trades a third-round pick for Hassan Reddick. And yet, why wouldn't they have franchised Huff and protected their third round pick. And now they get a guy whose contract is up and wants more money. Like, at some point, when does Douglas get called on the carpet for being general manager 101?
I think it's a cash issue, Mike. I think that's what it was. I think that's coming from the owner, not necessarily Joe Douglas. I don't think, Woody Johnson wanted to spend on Bryce Huff. And I think that's where they landed. And so, yes, it's a third round pick. It's a 2026 third round pick. So it's down the road. And who knows who's going to be the general manager that doesn't have that pick, in 2026. So to me, this was about, cash this season. Yes, Reddick's in the last year of his deal. He's getting $14 million this year. The franchise tag, I can't remember what it was. It was 23, I think 22, 23 for a defensive end.
But he could have tagged him and traded him. Brian, he could have tagged him and traded him. He could have tagged him and said to Howie, hey, Howie, trade me Riddick. I'll take Riddick. I'll trade you Huff. You work out it. They already had worked out a deal with Huff. He knew it. I knew it. I'm sitting in Ocean City and I knew it. Like, how does he not know it?
No, I think he knew it. I just don't think the Jets were going to meet the number that Huff got from Philadelphia. I don't think they were going to go that high. I think it was just came down to a cash issue. I think that's what it was.
Jets beat reporter for the New York Post, Brian Costello, joining us on the Progressive guest line here on the Lombardi line. So we also have a running joke with the Jets that we call them the Ifers, because if everyone stays healthy, this team could be unbelievable. But there are massive questions. You have a 40-plus-year-old quarterback coming off of an Achilles injury. Yes, you upgrade the offensive line, but what's the health of Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses, Mike Williams, Breece Hall? There are so many questions about this team's health. What's the latest from that perspective that you can share with us? Because I saw Breece had a little bit of a tweak and how Rodgers is looking right now.
Yeah, I mean, the Breece thing I wouldn't be concerned about in June. He's off to the side running, and it must be something. He probably has some tightness or something, but I wouldn't be worried about that. Rodgers looks like Rodgers. He looks great, and it's June. I mean, he should look great in the OTA practices, so I'm not going crazy about that, but he is moving around. He looks good, but the big part is the offensive line. You already can see it. Like, Elijah Vera Tucker is coming off the Achilles. He's not ready to practice yet. Morgan Moses isn't practicing right now. Tyron Smith sat out yesterday's practice. My question is this group going to get any time together in training camp or in the preseason to get to know each other and build some chemistry? Or is this going to be sort of like last year, where the first week of the season is the first time they're going to be on the field together? And I don't think that's a good recipe at that position. I think they need time to build continuity, and it's not there. And I'll give you the flip side too, of the if they stay healthy thing. The Jets have stayed healthy on defense in recent years, right? At some point, the luck is going to change on the defense too. And some of those defensive players might miss some games. So, it's a huge question mark, I think, for every team health, but really for the Jets, it is the question mark going into the season. Can they stay healthy?
One other guy, how about Mike Williams? His numbers have been declining over the last 2 years, and his health has been declining. What's he look like? I'm sure he's standing next to Tyron Smith working on the bicycle too, but what's the projection for him?
Yeah, we haven't seen him on the field at all. I haven't even actually seen him on the bike. Like, I haven't even seen him outside. I think he's inside the trainer's room. they won't commit to saying, he's going to be ready for training camp. They won't commit to that. So we'll see. I think that could be a while. I wouldn't be shocked if he starts training camp on the PUP list and they work him in at some point, but yeah, he's coming off of an ACL. I think it was September, October. He suffered it last year. It was, fairly early in the season, but he's going to be 30 years old. And that's not an easy injury to come back to at that age. People saw Breece last year, came back from it smoothly, but he's a younger guy. So yeah, Mike Williams is a huge question mark to me. And, that's a signing that, it's all going to depend on if he can get on the field and can stay on the field. I'm not so sure about that one.
Brian, we've only got about 20 seconds, but do you think it was wise for CJ Stroud to poke the Aaron Rodgers bear this week?
It's fun. I can't wait to see Aaron. I can't wait to ask him about it. I was wishing we could get him yesterday to ask him about it, but and it gives us, they play on Halloween. So that's going to be a fun storyline that week to talk about for sure. So as a beat writer, yes.
Well, we will be paying attention to your reporting next time you get to talk to Aaron. Keep up all of the great work. Really appreciate your time.
Great work, all Brian. Right, thanks, guys. Welcome anytime. Thank you.
Brian Costello. Follow him on X again at Brian Coz, C-O-Z. Quick timeout on the other side of the break. Why the Miami Dolphins should be concerned for 2024 and what's on Michael's mind.